Yo, what up, Grizz Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Grizz 901, normally your favorite post-game show, but now we're here every week. Here on Tuesday nights, we're live to you and in color, baby. I think that's what I put out today. Tonight, we're going to talk about the Grizzlies falling back two spots to the ninth spot in the draft. Everybody's a little bit pissed, but I think it might be a blessing in disguise. But also, we're going to get into a lot of the playoff talk, as well as maybe some thoughts on should we trade or should we not. So there's a lot that we're going to get into, but let's go ahead and not leave our guy waiting any longer. Oh, nay, we got new digs. Hey, look at us. I'm going to look at it on my phone now, finally, now that we're live.
Oh, it's pretty.
I like it. All right, yeah. So in the chat, let us know. Do you like it? We're trying to do something different. So Kenny has blessed us with we're trying to be a little bit darker on the outside, so we kind of, shine more and not, I don't know. It felt like it was more whitewashed and more old, like kind of kiddish, the so much teal. So I don't know. So let us know in the chat if you'd like it or not.
The blessings rain from Brother Kenneth, thankfully.
Oh, skinny hey, Kenny now.
That's not the only thing changing up. We're going with a little mezcal tonight. Look at this, man. This is something that's a... Woo! That's got some smoke to it, baby. Trying something a little different. It's in cute little glass, too.
I like it. Well, shout out to everybody that's in here already. King Meeks Wayne from Down Under, baby, already here. Listen, it's... We miss, like, the camaraderie of the family. And I don't know if we're going to change it to that, just being the family, but like, I feel like it was family. It still is family. And it's just not the same in the off season because not everybody's turning up for the actual games. And it's hard to get on a random Tuesday night that maybe you're not tuning in for the Grizzlies. And so we understand that we are very much, tied to the Grizzlies, but we also know that, listen, this is family, and so we know you're going to tune in sometimes live, sometimes not. So no offense at all, but we want to make sure we do say thank you when you are here. And if you got any questions, feel free to hit us up. We'll be more than happy to talk through them. But man, the draft, Nate, the draft. All right, so you first see that, did you watch it live? That's my first question. Did you watch it live?
I did.
Did you?
I did. I watched it live.
That's shocking.
We've had a little bit of a slowdown in the qualifiers as of late. So I've been able to watch a lot more stuff, which has been nice. By the way, Shogun, 10 out of 10 show.
Been really?
As well. Really enjoy Shogun.
Isn't Shogun more of like an anime kind of?
No, Shogun is live action. It's on Hulu. There's a live action show. Yeah, it's like, well, I think it's like gonna be up for a bunch of awards. It's really good.
Is it fantasy?
It's fiction, if that's what you're asking.
Maybe that's
realistic fiction.
Yeah, okay.
We'll talk more about this afterward. We're already getting derailed. We're only 5 minutes into the show. So I watched it live and I felt bad because I was we got into the 10th pick, who I can't remember who the 10th pick went to, but was it the Spurs? Yeah, the 10th. Doesn't matter. 10th pick got announced, and I was like, all right, top 10. I said this out loud to my wife. I said, top 10, pretty much going to be happy. Would really like it to be under 9, but top 10. And then right as I said, like, for it to be under 9, my wife goes, you jinxed them. And, like, I'm not kidding you, as she got the words out of her mouth, he held up the Grizzly sign, and she looked at me, and she goes, it wasn't you. I didn't mean it. I was like, ah, dang it. But – it's okay. I was not considering self-harm. I feel like some people may have been really devastated by it, but it's going to be okay. I actually don't mind the spot that they're in at all.
All right. So it was the Jazz who I believe Jazz fell because the Hawks jumped up and so did the Rockets, I believe, who jumped up. and then the Jazz were at 10 and then it goes Grizzlies, Spurs, Blazers, and then so on. So
I thought of this guy as it got announced. So it's like Allen was so dedicated to the tank from like game 5. He was in on the tank. And it was like all that tanking to get the 9th overall pick. Right. Cracked me up. I literally thought of Allen as it got announced.
That's funny. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, that's what pissed me off is, you know, literally we had to watch what we watched, and we end up getting a just, you know, we fall down two spots. We're not blessed. And so you feel like, you know, you kind of got the short end of the stick. But honestly, like, this season was a one-off. It's a gap year in a sense. I would hate to be the Detroit Pistons, just in general, overall, but now they fell back again. We're talking about some terrible luck that they're having, but overall, the Detroit Pistons would be worse off than we are. I'm not worried about us as much.
Wasn't it like 31 combined wins for two number five picks or something? Bad. That's so bad. Yeah, listen, we're going to be okay. And honestly, I mean, we'll get into this a lot more, so yeah. I'll just leave it alone for now. But
all right, let's go ahead and get into more of the lottery. And initial thoughts, obviously, on my end were it sucked, but it was a blessing in disguise, in my opinion, because I think the Grizzlies have a lot of options that they can go. And I think other teams can go in a bunch of different, you know, various directions as well. But I think the Grizzlies are okay. But also, they don't have to pay as much to a ninth overall as they would maybe a third or a fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever. Like, right. you don't have as big of a salary. But I also think that a ninth pick, top 10 pick, whatever, it's going to be a very good player. And so I don't doubt that at all. I just think that they have to make moves around the edges and they go ahead and use this draft pick. I think you go and use this draft pick unless somebody presents themselves and says, hey, we'll trade you this, what you actually really want and what you're hoping you're getting in that pick. And we're going to go ahead and take that pick because we have a player that we love, or we see a player ceiling that honestly could be better off with our organization. Like, I'm okay with that. But you potentially have a guy to get maybe Castle, Klingon, Holland, any of those three. I think they could easily be there. I think one of those three will be there in your spot when you're drafting. And at that point, I think you have to take the swing and grab one of those guys.
Well, that's the beautiful part of all this. There's 100 different ways the Grizzlies could go here, and none of them seem wrong.
Yeah.
Like, whoever they take there, I'm convinced, and I've been convinced, they're going to get a big through some kind of free agency move or trade. Like, you don't want to have any rookie big, in my opinion, coming in and having to contribute to a contention run, which is what you're wanting to do this year, right? That being said, like, if you take Klingon with that pick, cool. If you take Shepherd with that pick, cool. If you take Connect with that pick, cool. If you take Holland with that pick, cool. You know, there's all of these guys have the potential to be good to great role players, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's what it comes down to is you do have a lot of options. So speaking of options, let's go ahead and look at some of the options because I think that's important. So what we're going to do is throughout this lead up into the draft, listen, we have a lot up our sleeve that we want to do for the draft, right? And I have talking real quick, I'm going to back up. I just spoke to Rafael Barlow today. Shout out to him. If anybody knows or doesn't know, Rafael Barlow is obviously a guy that very, very cool with us very early on. He was the one who actually spoke very highly of Gigi before they even he was even discussed, right? Yeah. And he was the one who was on the very beginning of it. His wife very recently has been diagnosed with a fairly bad, all cancer is bad, but she was just recently diagnosed with cancer. And so after speaking with him this afternoon, he doesn't want to come on right now. He has shared that he might want to come on as we get very close to the draft or maybe even the night of the draft. He doesn't know, but he does want to try to help and come on if possible. As I told him, dude, we don't need you. I was just wanting to, as you know, every year, you know, kind of keep, you know, always discussing this. But I told him, by no means do not feel you need to. I just want to make sure I keep the relationship building and going, and also thoughts and prayers to him and his family. But he said he's having to do more of the daddy duties. And so he's kind of taking a step back on the draft. So shout out to, and thoughts and prayers up to Rafael Barlow and his wife and family.
100%. Also, be careful with the tone when you say that, because it can be, hey, man, like, it's okay. We don't need you to come on. It's fine. Or you can say, hey, we don't need you. So be careful with the tone of how you deliver that. But no doubt. Yeah, I hate that for him.
Yep, absolutely. But listen, Robert Barlow, dude is the best. He is awesome in his draft stuff. We have him on here. But as we lead to the draft, we're going to have our guys Chip, but also we're going to have Ryan giving us their big board. We're going to have that on draft night. Both guys will have their draft board. We're going to have them on the show as well. But as we lead up to it, we're going to have a little bit of a consensus mock draft here. All right. So what we're looking at is Bleacher Report and then CBS, ESPN, all these different ones, right? So we have 12 different places that have their mock drafts out right now. And so at the number 9 pick, these are who they're all saying the Grizzlies are taking. And if you're looking at these names, you're seeing a lot of Klingon, Shepherd, and Holland. Okay. You see one Cody Williams from No Ceilings. If you don't follow them, go follow a good group of guys. And then CBS Sports has Dalton Connect. And then ESPN has Stephon Castle. And I think that's it. The rest of the guys is Holland, Klingon, and Shepherd. Mm-hmm. Nate, anything stick out to you when you see this? Because I think it's eye-opening sometimes when you see it all on one page. You're like, okay, I see all these different names. But yeah. It's kind of broken down to a main three in a sense.
Thought number one, who's Cody Williams?
Colorado guy.
Draft expert Nate back in the game. This sort of looks about right to me. You know, it's kind of torn between Shepherd, Holland, and Klingon. Connect is another name that I know a lot of people have, I mean, pun intended, connected to Memphis. So there's a lot of stuff that you kind of expect to see. But listen, this is the beginning of draft season. Our guy Ryan earlier was like, hey, have you guys watched any of the combine? I'm like, no, that's what I have you and Chip for. You guys watch this stuff and you tell me who I'm supposed to like. So I'm ready to be talked into any and everyone as far as this goes. So to be honest, I mean, every one of these guys on here, other than I legitimately have no clue about Cody Williams, everyone else here, there's a plus. Like Castle, it's like, oh, the only knock on him is he didn't shoot very well last year, but he did literally everything else awesome.
Yeah.
And by the way, he shot fine all the way through high school. He had 1 year in college, didn't shoot super well. Okay. We got Anthony Carter. I trust that can be fixed. Oh, Ron Holland, mega athletic wing. One of the top players coming out of high school. Like people, I saw someone earlier say, we already have Gigi for that. God forbid we have two.
Right.
You know, Connect is really the only one on there that I'm a little bit, I don't know about, just because I felt like when we saw him in the tournament have to go up against real athletes, he wasn't making as much of an impact. Right. And like, it could have just been, I don't watch a lot of college basketball. I don't shy away from saying as much. It may have just been the games I happen to see. I'm just like, eh, maybe. Whereas all the other guys, I can immediately see ways they can contribute for Memphis, other than, sorry, Cody Williams. Again, he could be the best player out of all of my thought.
Yeah, no. So Cody Williams is he's a big guy in a sense, right? And so he's not like he's kind of a stretch four, maybe a hybrid 3-4. But really, honestly, I think he's fine. I think that's a little too high, in my opinion. But I'm curious of how all this goes, because I think we're going to see some change at the top. So just looking at this right here, you know, you're talking about, you know, four of the sites are saying they're projecting adding, you know, Hollins here. And as I think it's Wayne saying, you know, loves the idea of adding Ron Holland. I just think that Ron Holland gives you the ceiling that you're really looking for. When you're looking at taking a swing on a draft, I really do think that you're talking about a guy who has the potential, was the number one rated player coming out of high school. He has all the different things and measurables and the measurables that you actually need.
Right.
What jumps out to me is the Reed Shepherd stuff. I think Reed Shepherd's great, but let's just be honest. When's the last time a top 10 pick white boy was good in the league? Like, seriously, when was the last time? Like, any idea?
Franz
maybe, and Chet. Big guys,
yeah, there's two in like the past two or three drafts,
you know what I'm saying? But they're not like amazing. They're good, but like those are also big guys though too.
I know what you're saying, but dude, if you can shoot the hell out of the ball, I can find a way for you to play in the NBA.
Okay, so I agree with that. I'm okay with Reed Shepard as a general NBA player. If I have John Morant, who's already undersized, I can't go get somebody that can play that can't play alongside him for long stretches or even to close games.
Sure.
For the majority of the time. Like, I'm not saying anybody on that list that we draft will, but dude, they have a better potential just because they're not both small guards.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, he's also an athlete. Got tied for the highest vertical at the combine. Like, it's one of those things where, okay, maybe you're small, but you can shoot the hell out of the ball. And we're watching a guy like Dante DiVincenzo go play, and he's granted bigger than Reed Shepard, right?
Yeah.
Obviously a little bit bigger, not a lot of bit bigger. But guys who are going to be nose for the ball, will defend, will rebound, will shoot. Now, I don't know if Reed Shepard's going to be any of that, but he's at least got one thing that any team could use, which is shooting. Right. So, again, and I'm not looking for something that's a major shift in this draft, right? It's not what I'm looking for when it comes to this. It's, okay, can you play a role for this team in a way that helps them in the playoffs? Is Reed Shepard my favorite out of those? No. I'd probably go more Holland or Castle, personally. But I can find a way for any of them. And that's the beauty of this draft for the Grizzlies. You don't have to find the big swing player here. And there's a chance you fall into an awesome player. There's a chance you get a chance to draft Holland or Castle, and they end up being awesome. Like, awesome, awesome, right? I mean, the draft is just always a bit of a crapshoot, right? Talent gets taken all over the place. Jokic was a second-round pick. Giannis was late first round. Rudy Gobert was late first round. Not that we're big Rudy Gobert fans, but people keep bringing up that draft. I mean, GG was a 45th overall pick, and now we're saying he's untouchable for Brandon Ingram. That's the latest I'm seeing, right? Which I do agree with, by the way. I wouldn't want to trade him for Brandon Ingram. So it's just, you could fall into an awesome player. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I went ahead and put the poll in the chat if you want to check it out. If you're on YouTube, thank you for joining us. If you're on social media, come over to YouTube. You'll see the actual poll there. You won't be able to see it on Twitter or wherever else we might be. So go check it out there. But listen, I'm torn between these guys. I don't know if you had all four available, Nate, which one is there a guy that you said, hey, I know enough about this guy, I would take him, because you have the big and clinging. You have the Swiss Army knife in a sense of Castle. You have the small shooter and Shepard. And then who is the other guy? I can't remember who I just put on there.
Holland, Connect.
Holland. And then Holland's the X factor.
Right. Holland's the one that I feel like makes the most sense. I don't know, though. I lean towards guys like Castle. Big guards who can defend, who are athletic. He can do a little bit of everything. If the only knock on him is he can't shoot, I feel like he can learn how to shoot. You know, it's like,
right.
You know, it's just, I Castle feels like a really good pickup for me. Probably him or Holland. But again, that's what we have Chip and Ryan and these guys for. Right. Because I'm just going off of the smallest sample sizes ever of what I've seen. Right. So I have a question for you on that, though. Yeah. I've seen a ton of, okay, they got to take a big, whether it's Klingon or Edie, which I saw a guy, King Meeks, already mentioned in there. Got to take a big, or you got to trade that pick for a big.
Say that one more time.
You either got to take a big with the pick.
Okay.
Or you got to trade the pick to get a big. I do not agree with that logic. What do you think, that's the only pass the groups have?
No. There is a thing that I don't know if it's new this year. It might be brand new. I'm not sure. I think it's free agencies. I'm not sure. It could be new. But there's a free agency period, like, within the NBA season that I think that some guys are available.
Right. All right. But, like, I do want to have this in a bit of a serious way, because I think it is something that people view the 9th overall pick as, like, a major asset to go get one of these bigs. And I don't think that's necessary for Memphis.
All right.
In this scenario, right?
In that scenario, guess what you have to do? You have to pay the guy whatever salary he's already on.
That's what I was going for.
Okay. Now, if it's a guy who's who is definitely under contract and he has a phenomenal, like, just salary, you're like, he should be making 20 and he's making 12 for the next 3 years. That's somebody that you would do that.
Right.
I don't know who that guy is.
Jalen.
So, Yeah. And so my thing is I'm going to shy away from that. And so my opinion, listen, Drummond's going to be available. You're also, and this is like patchwork guys, like Drummond's available. And obviously Hartenstein, who everybody's seeing right now, is going to be available in free agency, whether or not the Knicks sign him or not. You could offer more money potentially. I don't know if he'd go there, but you're talking about be able to go to a team who has Ja Morant. I don't think people realize the gravitas that he brings to a team. Like he's a guy that Adam Silver still checks in on. Like right. Adam Silver doesn't even know who the Primo is anymore. Like forgot that he existed. Like there's guys that I promise you that you want to be on their team and they're going to make you better. And they're also seeing JV was awesome on this team. And then we also then just saw our fellow brethren of Wayne Hunt, Steven Adams. He was on this team and was phenomenal. And then how bad they were this year without a big center.
Yeah.
You get into that position, you could even make more money after you leave the Grizzlies or potentially win a championship.
Well, I would just be – and we talked about this a little bit already. If they take a big with the pick, I don't mind it. But no. I would be shocked and disappointed if they went in with a rookie big as the big they want to go with next to Jaren. I know there's a lot of Jaren at the five stuff. I think that's good in spurts. But overall, always is not the move. So I would be pretty disappointed in that. But there's just so many paths, whether it's signing a guy like Hartenstein or getting a guy like Drummond. Atlanta, there's no telling what Atlanta's going to do. Maybe you can go get Capella on the cheap. Like, there's all kinds of things you could possibly do that I like as moves. So, there'll be a lot more to talk about this, but there's just, I think the whole point of this conversation is there's 100 paths the Grizz can go down, and I don't hate any of them right now, unless they take, there's a couple of paths that I could probably hate, but I don't imagine they'll go down those. There's no desperation for the Grizzlies right here.
No. And I'm honestly, everybody knows I'm a Duke guy and I completely shy away from Kyle Filipowski. Like I am not in on him. I don't think he's going to be a good NBA player. I've said that from day one. He just doesn't, on paper, he looks good, but on the court, he just doesn't do it for me. He doesn't do the things I need in a big. He's more Santi Aldama in a sense. Right. And I really think that Santi could give him a run for his money. Especially the way Santi has grown. And honestly, Kyle Filipowski could be great, right? He could be great in the league and he could grow up in a sense, but I just don't know if he'll grow up enough in this league to really just kind of carve out a big niche for himself. But Duke can shoot the ball. He really can. And if he can figure out that and keep moving away further and further from the basket, but then still play defensive, on a high level, then I think he'll be okay. But I don't think he's a good fit for the Grizzlies.
Mm-mm. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
All right. Anything else you got on the draft before we move on? Because if we're going to talk about the playoffs and what's happening right now with the Knicks just taking it out on the Pacers at home. They're in New York, but we're going to talk about the little bit more. But anything else you want to hit on more Grizzlies related stuff before we move on to the playoffs as a whole?
What do you think about Zach Edey? I got to ask.
Yeah, I saw that from who was that? Is that King Meeks? Yeah, that's
King Meeks. Meeks is not a fan. We know King Meeks is not a fan. I genuinely don't know what to think about the guy. So that's what I want to ask you.
Yeah. So, all right. So he has decent footwork. He's decent around the rim, right? But let's just be honest, like, he's going to be moved out further from the basket in the league, right? Yeah. So you have to be able to do something else besides just a nice putback dunks. Like you're going to be, he's going to have issues on the offensive end that he did not have in college, but that's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about on the defensive end, because what's going to happen is whenever they want to, and they want to pick on you, they're going to put you in every single pick and roll. And your guys have to fight through screens. They have to fight over screens. And your guys are going to be so annoyed with having to play with you because you're a drop big who honestly is dropping back further than normal. And we've seen the JV stuff, right, when he was in Memphis. We've even seen Adams. And they were taking advantage of it. I don't know if anybody, like, if everybody has short-term memory loss, but JV in the playoffs was getting just embarrassed. And I think that's what you're going to have with Edie. I think he's fine. If he's a backup big, I think that's a phenomenal role. I don't know if he's going to be drafted to that. And if he is, that's great for him.
Well, I just – obviously, he's been the rage of Grizz Twitter in general, and then he's the – he had his quote where he connected himself to Memphis today that came out.
Over that.
I have the same worries. Like, if we thought Adams was unplayable in the playoffs, then I'm very concerned on that end. But, I mean, he's a big dude who has touch around the rim. There's things to like about him. I just – I've always been kind of skeptical of if it'll translate. And so we'll see. I've been wrong other times. I thought Walker Kessler would be terrible. And then he was really good as a rookie. Obviously, he struggled a little bit this last year, but happens to a lot of second year guys. The only thing that I could care less about is him making a bunch of threes at the combine. I've seen Steven Adams and Ben Simmons make a lot of threes in drill scenarios. So not saying he can't do it, but until it happens in a game, I will not believe it.
Do you know who is another guy who hated Walker Kessler, thought he should honestly probably go late into the second, was not very good, did not believe in him. Give you one guess as to who that might be.
Ryan.
It has to be Ryan. Ryan talked so bad about that dude where I was like, all right, listen, I don't know much about him. He went to Auburn. I know that. But there was not much I knew about him. And then all of a sudden he comes in and just like, now everybody on Grizzlies, all the fans want him on our team. I laugh at him every time about that. And that's the part of being a draft guy is you're going to get some wrong. But he's been right a lot of times. He told me this Oklahoma kid, he might be a little undersized, but he's 6'5", can handle the ball. Dude can shoot the ball. He's a gamer, will go up and punch you in the face kind of guy. Like, that's the kind of guy I want on my team. You know who that is. He plays for the Lakers. Mm-mm. Austin Reeves. Like, he loved that kid. And I like he's a flopper now, but dude is a dog. Dude loves to be a gamer. So all right. So any other questions you have, let us know. But I do see Drew has one in here about the Hawks. And so the Hawks do have a big decision to make. In my opinion, what I'm seeing with their team is they did have a guy in John Collins who was there for them, honestly, for the longest. And he played with Clint Capella. Collins was more of a guy who could step out a little bit. I don't know. And I'm going to ask, I guess, you know, honestly, the chat, but I know Black Ninja DJ's in here as well, and he knows a lot about the draft. But I don't know how much Sar can pop out. But if Sar can't pop out, you really can't play Capella and Sar at the same time because neither one of these guys are out. But I know that Sar isn't, you know, just a huge monster, but I know that he could be a power forward potentially. But I don't know if they would get rid of Capella. But my first thoughts were yes, but I don't know anymore. I think Sar could play the four spot.
If history is any indicator, the answer is the wrong thing. I have no idea. I got no clue what they do, but I imagine it will be funny.
Yeah.
Imagine whatever it is will be funny.
I agree. I don't know what's going to happen with that. So the biggest thing that I see is if it's me, I would go ahead and find a way to get off of Trae Young if possible, because I like DeJounte Murray with that. The problem is that doesn't fix your position to potentially come off of Capella if you need to make room for Sar. But at that point, let's say you do move off of Trae Young. Are you moving off of Trae Young and Clint Capella? What are you bringing back? Maybe it's a quicker rebuild because I think you could possibly rebuild a lot faster. I just don't know what their rebuild or what their timeline looks like for the Hawks.
Well, they've got a bunch of good players.
Yeah.
Like, and there's no telling some of those players may get out of Atlanta and be way better. Right, you're seeing that happen with PJ Washington right now, right? So you could get like a DeAndre Hunter out of there. He's better, and some team be willing to take a little bit of risk with him. But you got Jalen Johnson there. You got Murray. You got Young. You've got Bogdanovich, Capella, Kongwu. You've got a lot of good players and pieces. You just got to figure out which ones you're gonna use and which ones you're gonna build around.
Right.
So they have a lot of options. I mean, but probably what they might fall into is being in limbo. Like, hey, we got all these good players. Let's see what kind of we can put together and like try and make it work. And you don't actually go in any direction with it.
Yeah.
And you could easily fall into that, especially if you keep Trey. Yeah. Right. Like, there's, you know, Trey Young is one of those dudes who he led them on that East Finals run. But, and I'm not convinced he's not a gamer at all. I mean, it's not fun watching him play basketball because he is the product of the James Harden era. But at the same time, it's not like I think he's bad at basketball. It's just he's extremely hard to build around, I think. You know, it's not one of those where he passes a lot. He gets a lot of assists. I think he can make his teammates better. But he doesn't always do that at the same time, right? It's kind of weird to find really impactful players to put next to him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think Murray's a better team fit, probably, just in general. Probably a little bit easier to fit pieces around him. But we'll see. Like I said, they've got some hard decisions to make, and I'm not convinced they'll make the right one.
All right. So one, Black Ninja DJ, I apologize. Listen, I don't know. We're at Grizz 901 Live. If you want to message me there, if you can't there, I'm at Daniel Greer on my own personal one. If you can't there, then let me know. But it says you tried and you couldn't. So who knows? I'll figure out a way to get in contact with you. I can give myself up if I need to. But I do have a question. All right. So we have this. We're going to go to the King Meeks one, right? All right. So I need y'all's opinion because we're trying to change some things on here. And this is the time to do it. And this is the family, right? We're all here. All right, Nate, I need your help as well. What looks better, right? So you have this one. I think it looks good. We're talking about the comment. I think the comment looks good here. It shows the name, the picture, and then in white, which I like. I like the what we're actually, the comment is in white. So it's I guess, different than if we did this way. It's a little too bland.
Yeah, I like the other one.
Okay. And then this one's way too big. I like this the most, but it's just way too big and it covers our logo. But maybe we might move the logo because then it's right in your face. We're all about the comment section. Maybe we move our logo out of the way a little bit. I don't know. We'll talk to Kenny about that as well. But I don't know if you see that. I just think it kind of is up big in your face. And I think if our show's going to be about the family, I really do think that we could promote a little bit more. And it takes room up on the screen. I think that might be good. I don't like the bubble. The bubble looks horrible. So it's either between you go classic and go big, or we can go small and keep it kind of a blocky looking. We can keep it while we're on here. So it just depends on what the logo might look like. Pulling it out of the bottom right corner, maybe, and putting it somewhere else, because we could always put it up here. I don't know if anybody's still with us hanging out, but we could put it up here. But the problem is that's, I can't move that. And we'd have to make some adjustments with our branding as well. So there's different ways we could do it. And so it looks like we're getting a thumbs down. So we're going to move that one off. But we could move the logo if we want to do the other one. But if not, we can keep it as is. So either way, I think we can, you know, whatever.
It's pretty, Daniel. Don't worry. It's pretty.
I agree. But I figure this is the time if we're going to make some changes. That way I don't have to bother Kenny for the rest of the – once the season starts, I'm like, hey, bro, we're good now. We good. Don't need
chat. Some Daniel needs someone to tell him he's pretty. Someone in the chat tell Daniel he's pretty. Give him some affirmation here.
Real quick, Edie is the beat 2.0. 100%. All right. So let's go ahead and take a break. And then when we come back here, we're going to talk all about the playoffs. We have a lot to hit on. And I have a play. What time does this game start? A few minutes. I have a play. If you're a betting person, I got a play I'm going to give you right when we get back. So stay tuned.
Holy cow, Minnesota Timberwolves.
It was the best defense that I have seen in an NBA game since I can remember.
They were all up in their ass in that game. I mean, defensively swarmed, never gave second chances, took advantage of every turnover.
Yeah. I mean, to take the challenge that they took on the defensive side and offensive end, why did they come out like that in game two? It's because they have an absolute mercenary on their team, and Anthony Edwards. Bro doesn't care about, ain't no friends. I don't care what your status is. I'm coming at your neck. And because he's that way, every other player on there is that way. Mike Conley got handshakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that? Mike Conley, handshakes. What?
Yeah.
We couldn't get technical fouls from them.
No.
Tune in to the Night Court Podcast with your hosts, Rob Fisher and Brevin Knight, on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
The old dudes are getting about here, too. The LeBrons are looking, starting to look old. Steph Curry looking old. Kevin Durant, first time ever. Neither one of those three guys were in the second round of the playoffs, right?
I absolutely welcome the ushering out of the old heads. Like, I I have this extreme, like, LeBron fatigue. Like, I don't like the way that he's covered by the media. And it makes me tend to not like him. And it's not even his fault.
Yeah.
Never his fault. And so moving forward with the new faces of the league, like, you know, your Ja Morant and your Luka Doncic's and Anthony Edwards could be part of that conversation. But does the league want to, like, put him on? Because they're going to market whoever they want to market, right? Yeah. And I feel like he's very marketable, but for some reason it seems like the league not leaning into it.
Because they know it's a clown. They know it's a clown inside.
He going to say whatever. Out,
right?
He going to say whatever.
They learned from Ja Morant. You better vet these dudes toughly. And the so dude who's like, coming in M-bombs and eating Popeyes on screen and...
He on the Bally's mic, bro. The mic is hot, bro. We heard what you just said.
They know a clown is in there, man.
Tune in to the Anthony Sain Show Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Yo, welcome back to the Grizz 901 live here every Tuesday at 9:01 here Central Time. I am Daniel. That is Nate. Listen, we have a rest of the show planned, which is all about the playoffs. One play I have, if you're a betting person, want to put this in because the game does start for another 4 minutes. But he's a guy that's off of the bench, so the number might go up even more. But don't wait because sometimes they will lock it out. So my only play on this game is Justin Holiday over 1.5 3-pointers at +154. So if you want to play it, feel free. Go after it. It'll be the play that you can honestly just kind of have fun with all night because it's just 2 3-pointers. But the thing is, he's hit 2+ in the last 3 games, and he's hit 9 total 3-pointers in the last 3. So you're talking about a guy who's feeling good. He's obviously Denver playing well. He's at home now. So I expect this to be a hit for myself. So that's it. All right.
Fingers on that one.
Yeah, that's all right. I did. And tomorrow night, I'm going to give us that on the show. So hopefully I don't get in trouble for this. But I do have a play on the show in the morning. This is one of my 2 plays. But I'm going to give Kyrie Irving over 5.5 assists. It's -120 on DraftKings right now. But he's crushed this line, and I've even laddered him up to 7 and 8. So if you're interested and you're a betting person, go ahead and go crazy and hit some Kyrie Irving assists because Luke is obviously hurt, injured, and then Kyrie, he likes to pass, dish the ball early in the game. All right, let's go ahead and go to the actual NBA playoffs. And so, mm-hmm. Nate, let's go ahead and talk about the game that just went off, and that is the game that we're gonna watch, and then we're gonna obviously cash with. Nate, we got the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Cat finally hit a 3. It's 5-4 currently at the moment. Thoughts on the series because neither team has won a home game.
Dude, it's goofy. It's been a weird series. I mean, it's one of those where we came on, and I think we did a good job of not sitting there and saying, "Hey, the Nuggets are dead and buried." But at the same time, we're like, I wouldn't be putting much money on them to win the series at the same time. And then you come here and it's like, okay, well, what's going to happen?
Right.
I have no idea. I mean, it looked like the Nuggets got woken up when they got back to – when they got to Minnesota.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine that Minnesota also wakes up now that they had a chance to go up at least 3-1 and it's now tied. And home's court advantage goes back to Denver. Right. So I think we'll see a much more engaged Timberwolves team here, but I think we'll have an equally engaged Nuggets team. I think both teams feel like their backs are still against the wall. Like pressure's on both teams to win this game, I think. So
I disagree with that. I really do think that this is a runaway for the Nuggets rest of the series.
Really?
I do. Because
why?
So if you look at what happened in this series and the reason the Nuggets lost the second game, the first game, obviously, you have the Minnesota Timberwolves play really well. And I think they played probably their best game they played maybe all season. And then you have the second game. You have Rudy Gobert go out the day of the game, hours before. He announces that he's not going to be there at the game. He's going to actually go and be the birth of his son. I believe it was his son. Mm-hmm. And then what happens then is that's the adjustment from the Minnesota Timberwolves is they adjusted and Denver just got punched in the mouth and could not do anything. And I think that was the adjustment that they got on their heels. And then, you know, honestly, it's a team that won it last year, right? They need a little bit of motivation. After getting punched in your mouth, kind of getting embarrassed, they go to Minnesota and win two games. And I think now they know how to play against them when you have Gobert and Kat. Unless Minnesota can make an adjustment, I think that this is a Denver. The next two games they win. They win four in a row.
Well, and Mike Conley's hurt, which I didn't realize. I knew he was questionable. I didn't realize he was out. I sort of forgot about that. That's a big blow for Minnesota. He does a lot for them that goes unseen. Not to mention if he hit threes at the clip, he hits it with the Wolves, with the Grizzlies.
Right.
They beat the Warriors. So yeah. Makes me sad every time.
Yep.
But, yeah, I would still – at this point, I'd flip. Like, I'd probably bet on Denver to win the series at this point. I did not think – they were going to turn it around that much and win two in Minnesota. Yeah. Runaway, though, I don't know, man. I still think it's going to be competitive. Like, if you say they win the next two games, I wouldn't be shocked. I would be shocked if they just blow it out the next two.
Yeah.
I'd be super shocked, actually.
I'm curious, man. I just think that I think these teams are going to – I think show their true colors, and I think tonight is going to be very telling of who wins the series. And I know that's probably the dumbest statement you could ever make, but it's down to a 3-game series. You have 2 games in Denver with altitude. They do have 2 days off after this game, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, looking at the schedule early on. And so I do believe that they do can catch their breath a little bit. Listen, late into a series, if you can get a double days of kind of nothing going on, mm-hmm. that really helps you. And so that's what I first looked at is can somehow they win Denver, win these games, and then you can catch your breath and then you go give it everything you got in that last game, which honestly helps Minnesota too. They're going home. We could see a complete flip, and it would be funny if no home team won the first 4 games and then every home team won the last 3 games. It would be pretty
fun. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. It's been a lot of fun to watch it go back and forth. So I'm enjoying it. It's been a good time. I obviously want Denver to win, but I've been really impressed by Denver. That's to get punked like that and go down 0-2 and then come back 2-2 is impressive, regardless if you're the defending champs or not.
Absolutely. It is impressive, and I think that they're showing a little bit of what they're all about. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Pacers and the Knicks. That game just happened, and so now we have the Knicks. They went up 3-1. Is that right now?
3-2.
3-2. That's what I meant, 3-2.
Yeah.
And so now you have 2 games left.
Yeah.
Can they somehow not play 45 minutes in a game and still win?
I'm curious. I don't think they can. They have to play 45 minutes, but they could end up playing the 45 minutes and win. I don't know what's going to go on in that series, man. It's been confusing. Each team could easily have gone up 3-1 to start the series. Like, there's so many things that could have flipped a couple of those games. So it's been an intriguing series, to say the least. My main thing out of that is, one, Jalen Brunson is the best Harden-esque player out there.
Mm.
That dude is amazing at basketball and falls down a lot. Yeah. I feel comfortable saying both things. Two, Daniel, it took us about 2 years, but the Deuce McBride agenda is finally taken off.
I saw that today.
Dude, it's been 2 years. For anyone who doesn't know this, I have been on Miles McBride since he was at West Virginia. I have loved him since college. And I was like, you can go back in my tweet history, and then there's like 3 or 4 tweets. I'm like, can someone just get him out from under Tibbs so he can actually play? Because he's going to be awesome when he actually plays. Lo and behold, he's actually playing and he's awesome. Still for Tibbs, but playing awesome. I love seeing that. So that's my main takeaway from this series.
Good old Deuce.
Deuce McBride. Deuce McBride.
Now, I like him. I think what we're seeing this last two games, we're seeing a blowouts on both ways. I'm curious what happens in this next game. I think with how this series is going and how many minutes they're playing, if for some reason it's not looking good or maybe Denver comes out with their hair on fire, you could see Tibbs throwing the white flag and say, all right, we're going to go back home and we're going to just play or their hair on fire the last game and play every single minute.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, the way they're playing, you kind of want it to end as soon as possible. So you can rest a little bit, because guess what? The Celtics, actually, the way that series has been going, you never know how long that series is going to go. They might just screw around and let it go six.
Oh, I think it's donezo tomorrow.
It should be. But, I mean, with no Mitchell, no Allen, and no LeVert now, I think, there's no reason it shouldn't. But, dude, like, there's no reason that game should have been within 4 points.
Yeah.
The other day, I turned that game off and started watching, I think, Shogun. And then I pull up ESPN and it's a 4-point game. I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And then they knock it down at the end of the game too and sort of expand that lead. But
right,
who knows? This game, though, I mean, because if you don't win the next game, those guys might be too gassed to play well in a game seven.
That's the issue, is like,
you know,
I don't know.
Either way, whoever wins the series, it's been fun. I could care less who wins the series.
Yeah.
I guess I want Miles McBride to hit the series winning shot. That's about all I care about.
Now that he's starting for sure. all right, let's go ahead and go to we're gonna go over this one very quickly. We're gonna get back to the West. And Cavs and Celtics, so many injuries. I don't see any reason that they keep this thing together, just as you're, I guess, hinting at here. I don't think there's any chance that we see the Cavs as the Cavs next year. And so maybe a blow up. So
it won't be a blow up, but they'll have to rearrange big time. They need to get a haul for Donovan, because that's not going to work long term. They're never, even if he wanted to stay, which I doubt he does, they're not going to win a championship with the current roster they have built.
Right.
It's not good enough. Yeah. You know, so they need to augment around Garland. They'll probably get rid of Allen. If I had to guess, they'll get rid of Allen, just because we've seen Mobley be so good without him at this point. Yeah. So, hey, possible benefactors of that. Memphis Grizzlies.
Call me, yeah. Baby.
Call me. But I imagine that's pretty well done with there.
Yep. That's all I want to talk about that one. All right, last one. Thunder Mavs. I think this is one of the better series. I think it's showing a lot of negative connotations or negative light on Luka, you know, old cheeseburger boy. I just he complains. He's a hamburglar. He's just angry and eating. That's all he is.
The only thing it's shown about Luka is what we already know, which is that he constantly bitches and moans. Like, that is the Luka way. Forgive me. Complains a lot. That's what I meant to say. Like, that is the Luka way. Like, we know this. He's still amazing at basketball. He's still the best player in that series. But I mean, he's playing on like one knee and one ankle right now. You know, he's clearly not right. Yeah. So he complains a lot, but he's always complained a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Is what it is.
Yep. Kenny's got a big question in the private chat to Nate. I hope you enjoy that. But I will say that
that's Adam.
I love Luka, but I don't love him anymore. I guess I loved Luka, but I don't even, like, I think he's getting worse as he gets older, for the simple fact of he's getting more selfish on the offensive end, and he obviously complains all the time, dude. I just I hate. But if you had a choice right now, and you had both guys, and all you need is like a guard who can handle the ball, do a little bit of whatever, maybe, you know, I guess creating a little bit. If you had both Luka and SGA available, no money involved, you're just playground basketball, who would you actually pick right now?
I don't know. Ja Morant. it's a tough call. I mean, I think Luka is the better player. I think Luka is 100% the best player in this series still. I think he's hurt, so he's not playing like it. I think he's the best player in this series by a long shot.
Okay.
SGA does seem to get his teammates involved in a bit of a better way. I do think that's a little bit, though, I think that's a little bit a reflection of the players that have been around Luka since he's been in Dallas. Mm. Right. And I think that's sort of where I'm kind of like, yeah, but Luka actually gets his teammates involved even more than SGA does. But yeah. Maxi Kleber hasn't made a three. Hasn't made a three all year until he got to the playoffs. All of a sudden, he's lighting it up, and then he gets hurt. But yeah. It's like, you know, I know our guy Chris loves DFS. Dude, I saw DFS miss so many open threes on passes from Luka. Same thing with Reggie Bullock. Tim Hardaway's either making every shot or no shot. You know, and so, yeah. I mean, imagine if the Mavs had hit on Desmond Bane and he's the one shooting them instead of Josh Green.
Sheesh.
Right? So it's like, it's a little bit of a reflection of the players around him. So
yeah.
I got to stick with Luka.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I obviously chose Luka in our little draft. I think Luka is amazing. I think Luka is going to need a special team around him that he likes and wants to be around for it to work. And I don't know if that's going to work. I think he needs more of a European style of a team, like teammates, more Europeans. Like I know that, I don't know if that sounds good or bad. I just think that he is a certain person. I think he's so peculiar, but I think he demands a lot, but also I think he wants to play a certain style. And because of that, I think that he has to like a certain, you know, guys for certain reasons and kind of play a certain type of basketball. I think that's what it
comes TJ McConnell.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, prediction, because I think all these other ones we've kind of talked about enough. Yeah. Prediction. Who do you think wins that series? Because obviously we're going into game five and it's tied.
I'm sticking with my prediction before. I'm going Mavs. I still think the Mavs win. I would not be shocked whichever way it goes. But the Mavs should be up 3-1.
Yeah. Does it surprise you that OKC had the Bill Street Flippers at their pregame kind of show before?
Weird.
That's so weird.
It's a weird, like, I don't know, maybe it's just because we're in Memphis and obviously there's obviously a lot of I don't know, I guess I'd call it sexual tension between the Thunder and a lot of Grizz fans that get particularly butthurt about it. But like, it's still weird. Like, I haven't seen the Beale Street Flippers do a lot of halftime performances. If they're doing halftime performances all across the country, then it's not nearly as weird. But to my knowledge, the Beale Street Flippers have not done anything outside of Memphis.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
I'm sure that's not right either, but that's why it's weird. Listen, I think that the Thunder are goofy. Like, I don't hate the Thunder the way a lot of people hate the Thunder. I'm a big, you know, we talked about it last time, if you don't like it, be better guy. But at the same time, I did watch, that's the first time I've watched one of their post games, and I was like, it felt weird. Weird, right? Like, I don't know. It felt goofy. That's a nice word for it.
It did feel goofy. We do have a question from Alan in the chat, but I do want to mention that Karl Anthony Towns is down right now. I'm watching what he did. So Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was going to guard him, and he slid and they banged knees. And Karl Anthony Towns looked like he got shot. It was a sniper in the roof, the way he's acting. So, who knows?
Yeah, that looked like knee to thigh. Let me tell you, that John hurts.
No, absolutely. Absolutely hurts.
I make fun of Cat all the time. Dude, getting knee in the thigh hurts a lot. Okay, there you go.
So, Alan says that the Flippers they performed at the Clippers and the Wolves game. So, they are doing a lot. It's just funny. But they did, as Alan said, they did sell out. For sure. King Meeks, I hope Kyrie steps up game five. I believe somebody else just said it as well. You know, dude, if I see him get 10 assists, is like plus 850, guys. If anybody's wondering.
Well, here's the other reason I'm going Mavs on that. Think about all the things that went poorly for the Mavs. Like, Kyrie wasn't good. Yep. Luka wasn't good. And they shot like under 50% from the free throw line. All that had to happen for the Thunder to squeak out that win.
Yeah.
Right now you can say, okay, now the Thunder have home court back. Fair. I just think, like everything had to go wrong for the Mavs for the Thunder to win that game. And SGA was awesome. So SGA was awesome, and everything was an anomaly in a bad way for the Mavs.
For sure.
And the Thunder still barely won. So we'll see. For sure.
I like it. And if you're wondering, Justin Holiday is at plus 195 at a live line for 2+ 3-pointers. So it is still 3 minutes to go in the game. He's going to play. They trust him. He shot well. So if you like that, go ahead and hit it again. All right, let's go ahead and show you Allen's, and then we'll get out of here. But this is a question for Allen about Allen. But Marcus Smart for Allen straight up. Jarrett Allen is who he's talking about. Marcus Smart for Jarrett Allen straight up.
Sorry. Anthony Edwards just had a Justice Winslow three-point attempt while he was wide open. It was bad. Yeah, 100% I would do that.
Is that a trade that – No picks involved, nothing around the edges.
Depends on what the Cavs value.
Huh?
Depends on what the Cavs value.
Would you value a pick?
Would I value like
as in like needing? Would you need a pick for that to happen?
Not necessarily, to be honest. It depends on if that fits a need the Cavs think they have, right? Because you have a guy like Okoro. Smart kind of replaces Okoro and brings the veteran presence to the locker room, and he's going to be a little bit more offensively for you, right? Which is not saying a ton, but given a little bit. Allen, if it fits a need for the Cavs, it fits a huge need for Memphis.
Okay.
Right? And so I think you probably have to give up a pick in that.
You have to give up a first?
No. You're not sending a first. No.
Okay, that's what I think. I just want to make sure.
I think you have to include a second or a second swap or something like that to make that happen. Just because Smart is, I think Allen said in there, a little bit older in that, and it's fitting a much bigger need for the Grizz of the Cavs have the leverage in that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that like Allen too. Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that like Marcus Smart. Like, let's just keep it real. Like, Marcus Smart.
That's true. That's true.
Helps probably winning more than a big. And I know that the Grizzlies need the big, but let's not get it twisted. Well, like, Marcus Smart is great, like, on certain teams, especially if he has somebody, maybe he's a little bigger. But the same sense, if I was Cleveland, I wouldn't do it. Unless you're getting rid of Garland. I don't want Smart next to Garland. That doesn't make sense for me.
That's where I land in there.
But that's on them. If they value Smart, then yeah, who cares? But it depends on what. But maybe they keep their two bigs. But at that point, you can't get Smart, so that doesn't make sense either. So there's a lot of issues surrounding that. I've never wanted. We got another one here. I've never wanted Miles Turner. I still don't want Miles Turner, even though he played well tonight. I still don't want Miles Turner. I'm not a Miles Turner guy.
It's because you don't like Star Wars. That, with the Smart Allen
Lego guy.
It's a Smart Allen trade. Like, I would do that straight up. It'll have to have other players involved.
Yeah.
Like, the Grizz have to send something else there. I don't think it has to be anything too crazy. Like, maybe like an Aldama or something like that probably in there, which I'd be okay with. And then the Grizz could probably bring someone back like a Sam Merrill, Dean Wade, maybe even Max Strus. He probably has to throw in more picks there. So there's other options there. But again, the Grizzlies have 100 paths, you know, and I think the Cavs are – it's going to be a tough sledding for the Cavs, especially depending upon what happens with Donovan.
Yeah. All right. So, listen, tonight's been fun. I do want to read off the poll tonight. Is kind of asked, who would you draft if all four were available? Klingon, Holland, Shepherd, or Castle, and overwhelmingly, 54% for Klingon.
I forgot about the obsession with bigs.
Yeah, and Holland is 31% in second. Then you have 8 and 8 for Shepherd and Castle. Listen, I don't. If all four were there, I would probably go after Castle right now. Just because he's more of a proven guy, and Holland is the upside play that I think the Grizzlies could take. But I really think that they could they really could benefit off of Castle. The problem is, you know, is he good enough to play and shoot? Like, the biggest thing is his shooting. If he picks up.
I got a question for you. Yeah. I'm not sure if you know this or not. Do you know his wingspan? Castle,
I don't.
Plus wingspan. Do you even know that?
It did come out today. God, somebody, I don't know if they sent it to me. I don't think Ryan sent me that, but I think he actually did send that, sent in our chat that we have. That Wasserman, I think it was Wasserman that that sent it out, that they had messed up on his actual wingspan and his height and all that kind of good stuff. But I can't find it now.
If he's got a plus wingspan, I'm in. I think I'm in on Castle.
Well,
Agile, are you okay? It looks like your entire world is coming down.
Is it?
I heard you say, freeze? Might have been me. But if he's a big guard, long wingspan, can defend, can pass, can create, can play make, he can learn to shoot, dude.
Yeah. If you give me a second, I'm trying to go look at their measurables right now. I don't think they're available just yet. Oh, they are available, ladies and gentlemen. They are available. All right, so let's talk about Devin Carter real quick. We'll go back to the draft. Pop up video. All right. So, do you remember that show?
Ready, Jackson. Sorry, no, I wasn't listening to you, but I didn't know it anyways.
All right, let's go through them real quick. I don't worry about hand. Do you care about hands? I don't care about how big they are for the most part.
No.
But we do have the height without shoes, which is big. I've learned that about Ryan. And then the standing reach and then the wingspan. So we're looking at all these. So Devin Carter, he's 6'2", you know, roughly 6'2", without shoes. And then he's 8'2" with a standing reach. And then his wingspan, 6'8", 7'5". Castle, 6'5½" without shoes. That's big. Mm. Then an 8'6" is a standing reach, and then a 6'9". So roughly, if you're looking at Devin Carter is roughly, you know, much bigger wingspan. Devin Carter is 193 pounds right now, and Castle's 210. So if you were looking at both those guys together, let's talk about this guy.
I like that.
Klingon, 7'1.75". Without shoes, 9'7" is his standing reach. So he's three inches short of the rim. I'm sorry, 5. And then 7'6¾" is his wingspan. All right, let me.
It's gross. God, I never had a chance.
Robert Dillingham, everybody's on him. He's 6'1" without shoes, 6'3" wingspan. Yeah. Zach Edey, 7'3¾" without shoes, 9'7" again standing reach, and then a 7'10¾" is his wingspan. Who's another guy? All right, so this is one guy that I've talked about. 6'10¾" is okay. So 6'10¾" is Kyle Filipowski. 8'11", so you're talking about 8 inches different in a standing reach, Kyle Filipowski and these other guys. And then 6'10½". And we just said Zach Edey has a 7'10" foot less for Kyle Filipowski in his wingspan.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. And you're only 3 inches, 3-4 inches shorter, I believe. All right. Ron Holland, 6'6½", 8'8", standing reach, and 6'10½". Huge Ron Holland is his wingspan. And then I think that's it. Bronny James, 6'1½". David Jones, 6'3½". Donk Connect, 6'5½". He's been pretty big. And then 6'9" wingspan. And I like that a lot. And I think that's all the guys we've talked about. So Reed Shepard, 6'1¾". 6'3½" is his wingspan. So anything else stick out to you that you was like, oh, my God, that's big. So, Lightning DJ saying I'm good on Dillingham Filipowski.
Yeah, I mean – it comes back to the same thing. I think any of those guys we talked about earlier are a win. I think Holland or Castle are probably the biggest wins. Castle or Holland. As of right now, again, I listen to all these other smart people tell me what they actually think.
For sure. And as Black Ninja DJ saying, Devin Carter, sneaky pick for me. I think Devin Carter is the trade down that they would do if for some reason their guys that they really love isn't there at nine, if that makes sense. So if you get to the nine, you're like, we had four guys that we wanted, and these other guys that fell, there's a reason they fell, like, you know, whoever, Shepherd or, you know, Dillingham, whatever it might be, they fell to you. You then could eventually, you could trade out of that spot because somebody wants to come up and get one of those guys, and you could trade back three spots maybe and still get Devin Carter, who maybe was your fifth guy on your list, if that makes sense. So that's what I would do if it comes down to it. But honestly, you're talking about nine guys, and there's four or five guys above that that I would like as well. So I'm okay at the nine spot, no matter what. So, all right, that's enough of the draft talk. We've gone over again. And I said we're going to try to do 45 minutes this afternoon on the phone, and it was more of me tonight, so I apologize. Anything else you have before we get out of here?
Nah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Go support our people who sponsor us. Street Cards of Memphis, Pew's Residential Spray, and then Heaven's Healthy Kitchen, as always. You can find out everything you need to know about them. But tonight's been fun, man. Another one, a late one, clinging.
Another one.
I'm good on Edie. Don't give me Edie. And I'm honestly good on clinging right now. Give me a wing. Wings make the world work. World turn. All right, that's all we got. It's been fun. It's been real. We'll see you guys next Tuesday night, the same time, same bat channel. Be nice and tell your friends.